This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, lots going on. Braves got a little streak going on right now. A.J. Smith-Shawver was great last night. We need Chris Sale to do it again tonight as they take on the Reds. More with Grant McCauley coming up here in about 15 minutes. Also, the NBA playoffs buzzing last night because Mike said the Celtics coach blew it. Trying to do too much. Overthinking the situation. They shot a bunch of threes, 60 to be exact, guys. But they missed 45 three-pointers. They end up losing. And then, Mike, I think the bigger shocker is Nuggets fight back and ultimately beat OKC. They've just been blowing people out. 121-119. We dove into that earlier. And if you missed our interview, go online and check it out on the app, guys, as Nick Friedel joined us, Odyssey NBA Insider, talking about the makeup of these series. And he said he's not going to bet against Steph Curry tonight either, by the way. I'm a little bit surprised about that.
Well, I mean, I do think it's kind of funny to be from, like, one of the perennials you get maybe because sometimes you get sick of, to now kind of find myself rooting for one last rodeo for Steph Curry and Draymond and company. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, he's kind of added the juice, and that was a hell of a, you know, comeback win, a way that they knocked off the Rockets. So, yeah, I'm kind of pulling for Golden State right now.
I'm with you because it's fun. At this point, they aren't. Right. And by the way,
I can't stand Steve Kerr. He just rubs me the wrong way, condescending and all that. But, man, they got some good things happening right now.
But they've never been the bad guys, even at their height. Right, you might not have liked Draymond, but you love Clay.
You
love
Steph. Did you think they were the bad guys against LeBron, though?
No, I always felt like LeBron.
When it was LeBron and the Cavs?
And the Cavs, and it was like that for what? Like 4 years, it felt like. But I always felt like, you know what? How can I dislike Steph Curry, who's changing the game? Like, and there was something special about him, and I've said this, he's the most selfless player in the history of the league. And has been. With that, we're talking about a lot of different things today. Find us, by the way, Mike Bell, ATL. That's on social media. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and the radio shows, Dukes and Bell 929. Mike, you are concerned about something. You were out Friday. Abe got into this conversation with me, and I kind of looked at Abe and said, ah. And then I said to you today, you're not concerned about this, right? And I'm talking about Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I historically never, ever like to agree with anything Abe is spitting out there, but I will say that, you know, I'm kidding, it's a joke, Abe. But no, Abe was asked, and you talked about it, Michael Penix Jr., we all assume he's just going to be, you know, the man. He's going to step in and not struggle. Is he going to step in and be able to execute? Because, I mean, we all want that to happen, wanting that, and then how it's going to happen are two separate things. So I'm just playing devil's advocate. I believe in Michael Penix Jr. because I want to believe in Michael Penix Jr. because I have to believe in Michael Penix Jr. because we're not going back to Cousins. I still don't think he'll be on the roster later in the year. But I just, you know, lament the fact he didn't have a full year under his belt. But I also saw him do some stuff which shows he is ready for primetime. Like primetime, Sunday night, national TV against the Commanders. He makes a terrible rookie mistake, throws the ball, and then, okay, comes right back, takes him down the field, and then certainly did enough to put them in position to win the game, had the coach not taking the ball out of his hands by not calling a timeout. So I do think that Michael Penix Jr. had some big moments. Yeah, you saw him do enough to beat Carolina the last game of the season. We couldn't stop anybody. But still, a three-game sample size, Carl, is not what I saw from Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix. I saw a full season of those guys.
The crazy thing is, and we had Cody Benjamin on our show last week. He writes for CBS. And Cody believes the biggest question for the Falcons is Michael Penix. And that's what got us into this whole question about, okay, wait a minute, because I feel completely different. Look, Mike could be completely right about this, or maybe he's wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong, or maybe I'm right. But I feel like he's got it. And the moments he's shown us, guys, even in the loss of the Panthers where Bryce Young looked like Joe Montana, to Mike's point, Michael Penix threw for 300-plus yards in that game. It wasn't like he was a bum. I mean, we lose 44-38. We couldn't stop a nosebleed that day. But it was like he was out there competing. He was completing passes. He was moving the team up and down the field. But with that said, I just feel like some of these moments that we've seen have shown that he has it. And I asked this question earlier for those of you who have been in this city long enough, or maybe you watch Matt Ryan's career, because he's the last franchise quarterback we've had. Michael Penix should be the next one. When did you know? Did you know three games in to Matt Ryan's career, or was it six or eight, or the second season where you went, man, he had a really good rookie year? And maybe Mike's right. Maybe three games is not enough to say what I'm thinking, which is those small windows he put the ball into, some of those balls that weren't caught should have been, the moments where he could have choked, even in a three-game sample space, and he didn't. Mike, I feel really good. And look, I hear Cody Benjamin saying, we've drafted correctly, blah, 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 but we still don't know about our quarterback. Boy, I think we do.
Yeah. I mean, and this was the argument I was telling. I mean, it is one of those parallel universes, and we'll know what if this happened. And it's a fun offseason argument, because if you went with what we should have done, which is just sign Penix, draft him, he's your number one quarterback, and you just spent all that money you spent on Cousins on defense, then the team isn't giving up 24 points a game, and Michael Penix has a chance to lean into his run game with Bijan and Tyler and evolve. And then you could argue, you know, he might have given you a fighter's chance against Pittsburgh. Remember, Cousins wasn't very mobile in that game. We were all freaking out over the play calling. But then again, could Penix Jr. have given you that two-minute drill as a rookie against the Eagles that Kirk Cousins gave you? Could he light it up for 500 yards like Kirk Cousins did against Tampa Bay? So then again, you could argue by the time you get to in November and December, he's no longer a rookie. He processes, he handles these moments the way he handled that second half against the Commanders. So we'll never know. I do think, I speak for most Falcon fans, I hate the fact that we wasted a year of development when you see how good some of the guys in his class, like Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, performed. Caleb Williams didn't have the cast around him, obviously not as much.
No, not at all. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. You can text us. Let us know. Hit us up on social media. It's interesting because now the question for our football team is shifting, right? You feel like the defense is moving in the right direction. And Dom, let's cue up our boys from the Water Boys earlier. The Water Boys podcast, B. Rich and Trey, big shout out to them. They had on A.J. Terrell, and I just want you to hear what Terrell said about what he thinks this defense and what to expect from this defense as we played this earlier for you. And the Water Boys are going to be a part of our show here moving forward as we talk about, you know, things that are going on in the ATL. But I think, Mike, what we think about where the defense is going to be, right, makes us feel a lot better than where we felt 2-3 years ago. The coordinator situation, guys, okay, I got to give Jeff Ulbrich a pass to say, all right, let's show me what you got, right? Let's see where this is going to go, because now ultimately it's up to him to put all of this together. We can no longer say, well, he don't have this, that, and the other. You got edge. You got a pretty good secondary. You drafted safeties, Mike. You feel like you've upgraded at the linebacker spot. How's he going to put this together?
Well, I mean, we went back and looked at it. And again, I hope Raheem Morris, you know, getting back as a head coach, you know, learn some stuff too. Because, you know, even though he had been a head coach in Tampa Bay, hiring Jimmy Lake was a mistake. Jimmy Lake, just by just strictly statistics, was not as good as Ryan Nielsen. A guy that, you know, that was a Terry hire, right?
It was.
So, I mean, and this, it's funny because I've been really critical, just a sidebar before we get to hear what AJ said to the Water Boys, I've been really critical of some of the decisions that Fontenot has made in the draft and some of the personnel things. And then you begin to wonder, is he you know, acquiescing? Is he allowing the coach to have a bigger voice in this partnership? Because Arthur Smith wanted Pitt, supposedly. You know what I mean? Which was a mistake. So maybe I've got it wrong, because Terry is trying to use that collaborative word comes up, collaboration, and some of the guys he's basically deferring to may have it wrong, because Nielsen would have been better than Jimmy Lake. Jimmy Lake didn't know what he was doing.
It's hard, I'll say this, it's hard for any GM to remain when the coach gets fired and a new coach comes in and he doesn't want to bring in his own guys. That's across the board.
Right.
So I'm not saying you're wrong, because I think we probably would have been better with Jimmy Lake, or excuse me, without Jimmy Lake here and the experience of a Ryan Nielsen. But when a new guy gets the job, more times than not, he wants to bring in his guys. Here's what B. Rich and Trey asked A.J. Terrell on their podcast in regards to what to expect from this defense.
One thing about the back end, a safety, a corner, if we don't value nothing more than anything, we value a D-line. People that's going to get to the quarterback. It make your job easy. I tell a lot of people, I don't care who you – you can have the sorriest corner, the sorriest safety in the back end. They going to look like they all pro with the front. Having those two pieces added to the defense, I'm super excited for them. I know I text Jalen for sure when he got drafted because he was the first one, but I text him and told him, let's get it. Like, I'm happy about the moves we made. I like that the whole organization is on the same page for what we need and – what we need for right now. And I just, you know, I can't wait to get to work. As far as the team, I feel like every offseason, every team feel like they Super Bowl ready.
Yeah.
You know, that's common. Like, you always looking at, okay, you know, we got such and such here, this person there, you got AJ out here, Jesse back there, you got Man, we straight. Offense, yeah. We got boom, boom, boom. But the beauty, like, the game is everybody – 9 out of 10 ain't going to be healthy for the whole ride. So you got that going on. Then you got teams that just come out the blue. And then again, we're playing in the NFL. Like, it's a team that bloom every year.
Yeah, I think we're going to be that 100%. One.
Exactly. So it's like, it's one of those years where it's, you know, I feel confident for what we got. And then what's our team mission and standard? Yeah. Like, defensively, for sure, I just feel like we doing the right thing. And the difference is just going to be, like I said before, player led.
Yeah.
Like, the coach is going to do their behalf. Everybody got a job to do. And the difference between NFL teams, I feel like, is it's in the players, it's in the locker room, it's the culture, it's how we talking, what we believe, and all of those things that help us see bigger.
Take it to the next level.
Exactly.
Yeah, we talked a lot about, you know, stars. You said it. Do we have playmakers on this team? You know, it's Jesse Bates on the defensive side. I mean, you know, the stars are on offense. Jesse Bates. Grady's not here anymore. And then you say, well, Kate Nellis, until they used him properly, maybe. We don't have stars. And he's talking about the players. Players make the difference. And the coaching makes the difference. So you're right. Hopefully Ulbrich releases the hounds, the players and the moves they've added. But it's got to be complimentary. AJ basically is talking about complimentary football. He said it. If you don't have that front four or front five or whatever it is, you're not going to get the job done.
It's player-led. I agree with that. I mean, the great ones, I'm talking about the great defenses, are always that way. You can talk about the great coaches who put them in a position to be successful. Still got to make plays. We hadn't done enough of that. And we haven't done enough of it from the front end to the back end, and that's why we've been ranked where we have been. But I do like what he talked about with the standard and the mission and all of that stuff, and he's excited about what we did in the draft. He, like, the first guy I reached out to was Jalen because he was the first one picked. Great. Let's go. Hey, man, love to hear from you. 404-726-0929.
In case you're looking for numbers, look at the numbers. We gave up 3 more points last year than we did the year before with Ryan Nielsen. We were 18th in points allowed. 2023 went up to 23rd last year under Jimmy Lake before Ra took over.
All right, guys, coming up, Grant McCauley's going to join us. Was last night an aberration, or can it be the norm for this pitching staff? We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
And McCauley is here. Let's go around the yard as the Braves have a streak going. And Grant, let's talk about last night because it was pretty special. I mean, A.J. Smith-Shawver. We've been saying this today on the show, and as we've discussed this, this is what he's capable of. I don't expect it every outing, but at 22, you know, have some people given up on him way too early? I mean, we forget how young he is.
I mean, I would hope not. I think he's certainly shown and in flashes what he's capable of, but then you look at the date of birth and you start thinking, all right, there's some considerable tread on this tire. Maybe we just need to take him out for a few more test drives and break it in just a little bit and allow him to get experience with the road that can sometimes be kind of bumpy at the big league level. And I think that the only place he can really learn that is by going out there every fifth day and getting these kind of chances. Watching what we saw last night, I think was that, you know, indicator that there's a special arm here. I mean, he's a fastball splitter pitcher mostly. That's, I think, 2/3, nearly 3/4 of his pitch mix goes to those two pitches alone, but you can see how effective that those pitches could be. And you can also see that the more he does this, the chance to grow his confidence with that talent, that's what's going to unlock this special kind of performances and the special player that he could be for a team that very much needs all it can get in the starting rotation. So we can flash back a couple of weeks to when he was demoted after that start, I believe, against the Tampa Bay Rays, and kind of wondering, all right, well, why is he going down and Bryce Elder staying here? Well, Bryce Elder has accounted for himself very well, but I'm excited to see what A.J. Smith-Shawver has to offer because he is such a talented arm, and this is an important time for him and for the team to demonstrate that.
Well, we all know that guys sometimes takes a few tries to stick in the show, and John Smoltz always says, Grant, and we have on the show and says it, you know, you got to let these guys figure it out and find a way. And I just thought the only thing that A.J. Smith-Shawver got in trouble with at times this year was a pitch count, where, you know, it just balloons, and all of a sudden now, or as we like to say, now Schwellenbach, now I got to fix him next. But if A.J. Smith-Shawver continues this track and Schwellenbach figures out how guys are lighting him up, then you don't have to go shopping for a pitcher at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly start to get that stability that you want and you'd love if some of it could come from within. And again, I know we talked about it. I'm not particularly worried long-term about Spencer Schwellenbach. I do think he's going to sort it out. And meanwhile, and you talked about, you know, John Smoltz saying this, and he would know. I mean, you have to get the chances to go out there and compete in order to kind of find out who you are and to make the necessary adjustments at the big league level. I remember Bobby Cox, Freddie Gonzalez, and Brian Snitker. A lot of baseball people, baseball managers know that it can take you 30, 35 starts at the big league level before you really know what you've got. A.J. Smith-Shawver is nowhere close to that. So getting him those steady opportunities, I think, will allow you to determine what exactly he is, what exactly he could be, what he's capable of. And again, you kind of grow and develop at the big league level. In some cases, it works. And for a kid that came up at 20 years old, I don't think you could argue about how impressed they were, but they want to see it consistently, and I think, and we've seen this in the past with some of the other pitching prospects, bouncing them back and forth, I don't know that that really serves them well. And in some cases, I don't think you can afford to do that, and I feel like this is one of those cases.
Grant McCauley joining us, talking Braves. Tonight it's Chris Sale. We'll talk about tonight's matchup here in just a minute. Matt Olson, that inside the park home run, tell me what you initially thought about Tyler Callahan's catch, no catch. What did you see when you watched that in the bottom of the third?
Well, I think it makes your stomach turn. If you watch the replay, then you certainly just saw how gruesome that injury was. And unfortunately, and this is the truth in a lot of sports, injury is just part of the game. And it did appear that he was securing the ball and had taken a step, maybe two full steps, when he went into the wall and it was knocked loose. And I guess by letter of the law in the Major League rule book, you have to reach in there and take the ball out with the other hand, and that just didn't happen. So not to, you know, overly analyze that particular play, because I certainly feel for him. There's not much else Matt Olson could do other than run the bases. But for Callahan, who has multiple broken bones in his left forearm, that's about as gruesome of an injury as you're going to see. And hopefully a speedy recovery for him. He was playing in just his fourth game in the big league. So just a nightmare situation for him and for the Reds. But fortunate that it does appear that, you know, it may be a long road, but hopefully he'll be back.
Yeah, and just to see Matt Olson's reaction, like literally looking, is it a homer?
Yeah.
Am I good? It is our man Grant McCauley with us, guys, in the WaitForIt.com hotline. I'm not the biggest stat nerd, but it is kind of interesting. Nick Allen is one of the best shortstops as far as fielding, and I know he's off, not having a great homestand right now hitting, but he's still batting .271. So is he now our everyday shortstop?
I think so, Mike. And, you know, you can have me on retainer if you need somebody to kind of be that baseball stat nerd for you, because, you know, you look at it, it passes the eye test, number one. You can see the plays that Nick Allen makes. And last night was a great example of that, because when that no-hitter was going, 2-3 really solid plays from Nick Allen behind him. And you got to have those to pitch a no-hitter. You're not going to strike out 27 guys to get that thing done. But he has been everything that the Braves could have asked for defensively. I think he has better range than Arcia. Arcia may have the better arm, but Nick Allen is where he needs to be seemingly every time to make every play that's possible for him. And that says a lot about his instincts, his placement, and obviously the value that he can bring there. And I don't think that he's going to be the big offensive contributor. I like the style of at bat that he has. I mean, he grinds it out. He makes the pitcher work. And maybe he'll, with the more experience that he gets here and with a new team, you know, a new opportunity, change of scenery, as they say, maybe he will find another offensive level than he did with the Oakland Athletics for the past, what, 3-4 years. But I think you can't argue with the results defensively. And if you've got the rest of this team clicking the way that they appear to be finding their footing here lately, you're not too worried about Nick Allen at the plate. But I think he does enough things right that you can really ride this out for a while and see what he has to offer you. Because defensively speaking, statistically speaking, as you mentioned, I think he's only one defensive run saved off of the lead for shortstops in Major League Baseball. He has been that good.
All right, Grant, as we talk about Chris Sale, we were talking about, you know, it's, he seemed like over the last couple of starts he's coming around. What do you sense in there, and do you feel like he's got his footing?
Yeah, I talked about this on From the Diamond in a little bit more detail, but you can't argue with the results that he had last time out. It was his best start of the year. His slider got a ton of swings and misses. His fastball was still kind of being, I think throttling is the word we're looking for. Maybe it's 91, 92, maybe it's 96, 97, depending on what he needs in those situations. And if that's something he feels like works, then I think that, you know, obviously he can go out there and, you know, run it up the flagpole and find out. But you know, the Reds, I think, I know that they were getting no hit last night, but overall, talent-wise, I think they have a few more teeth than do the Colorado Rockies, even in Coors Field. So this will be an interesting test for Chris Sale to see where exactly he is, not just in velocity, but precision. That, to me, has been the thing that he struggled with this year as well. He's also had his pitch count run up with a lot of foul balls and competitive at-bats. And, you know, once he starts to dial it in and maybe get just a little bit more fine with what he's trying to do and able to do, I think we'll start to see the Chris Sale we're accustomed to seeing, not just last year, but over the course of a decade and a half. This guy's been one of the best pitchers in baseball for a while. I think he can still figure all of that out, and he's trending in the right direction. But I'm not ready to say that it looks like the old Chris Sale just yet, because I think there might be a couple of more tweaks or a couple more things he's working on to get there.
Talking with our man Grant McCauley, and again, we spent a lot of time today, Grant. I said, well, I get sick and tired of asking you because I'm making you answer a question you don't have the answer to. But the language about the Ronald Acuna, you know, and the timing of, you know, he was going to Los Angeles to get another look from the doctors, which, of course, was a red flag to many Braves fans. And then did the Braves say, oh, maybe that's another red flag, so let's say he doesn't have to go see the doc. What was going on with his timeline?
No, I can give you a little bit more clarity on that. Essentially, you know, there are a lot of people that are, you know, managing the Ronald Acuna Jr. situation from, I'll say, the higher up level. Because right now, you know, you can ask Brian Snitker about Ronald Acuna Jr., but he's not going to be the foremost insight as to, up to the minute, maybe what discussions are supposed to happen and what discussions have happened. So I think that there was a prevailing thought of, okay, well, let's maybe send Ronald out to see the doctor again and get him signed off on one last time before he goes out on the rehab assignment. That was, I think, the information as was presented, or maybe as was discussed with Brian Snitker prior to his availability yesterday. He was just trying to share what he knew, which was not obviously everything, but the decision had been made that, hey, look, he's good. Eletresh, who's the surgeon that did the ACL repair, believes that he's fine and doesn't need an extra trip out to L.A., and the Braves are planning on sending Ronald out on a rehab assignment, and I know this language made everybody thrilled, sometime this month. We are closing in. I'll use the word soon. The indications I had, I felt like maybe he was going to be out on a rehab assignment as soon as this week. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. There's some time left this week. But the sooner the better, because I think it's going to take him a couple of weeks worth of gameplay, building up, playing consecutive days. And obviously, he's coming back as an outfielder, not a DH. So they want to make sure that that has all been handled the best way that it can. And the reason why, we watched play out in real time in 2022. Ronald tore his ACL in July, came back in April. That timeline, I think, was ambitious at that time and showed over the course of the season that maybe some extra recovery would have helped him to get through 2022 with less pain and more manageable. And I think that that's the lesson that's been learned here, and that's why they're taking their time with this. I know it's frustrating, infuriating to not have the timelines and to get mixed messages, but I do think he is closing in on his return to the Braves, and hopefully it will be at the end of May or the very first part of the month of June. That would be the ideal situation, I think, right now.
All right. Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you as always. We'll see if we can keep this streak going tonight with Chris Sale on the Hill.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. It's Dukes and Bell coming up.
So when?
Dude.
Soon.
Yeah.
It's like when we ask Grant, it's not Grant's fault. He's going to what he knows. But it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Where's the Ark right now? It's with top men. Who? Top men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know, man. Is it a mystery wrapped in a riddle?
Yeah, and we're hoping it's sooner than later. Hey, when we come back, though, tonight, Mike said it. Deep down, look, we have no rooting interest. Do you want to see him get back at a chance for another chip? We'll talk.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Talk about it. Look, the Celtics blew it last night. Way too many threes, and I thought Jason Tatum, soft. Take the game over, settle you guys down, go to the rack. Nevertheless, they lose in OKC. Coaching mistake, fouling with 12 seconds to play, putting them on the line. They hit all their four free throws, and then they hit a three to win the game. Tonight, Mike, we get Pacers, Cavs. These NBA playoffs have been entertaining, guys. And then the Warriors and T-Wolves. And Mike said before we talked to Grant McCauley, you know, you're kind of hoping that the Warriors are able to get past the T-Wolves. I think it's a tough matchup for them.
Right.
But they do have Steph Curry. And Jimmy Butler's playing at a high clip again right now. There's no reason to think that they're not able to do this, Mike. But the Warriors may be getting another chance to get to the Western Conference Finals. And then you see what happens.
Mm.
But you said, I'm kind of rooting for one more chance.
Yeah, so this would be, what, five for Steph Curry.
You know, it was to get it.
And I just, you know, it's funny, you get to a point where, as a fan, I don't know, maybe you guys feel differently, but, you know, when you're, like, I know, so, you know, you're getting skin in the game, because we're Hawks fans, we rarely have skin in the game. But you just kind of feel, all things being equal, I'd like to see a little, maybe I'm nostalgic. I'd like to see Steph Curry, and maybe, just like LeBron. I would love to have seen LeBron and Luka make a run, because you just don't know how many, because unless LeBron's going to be like Brady, but he's getting up there too. You don't know if this is Steph's last great chance to make a run. So, yeah, I'm pulling for Golden State.
Look, I'm kind of with you on this. I do like the element of the new kid on the block and Ant-Man, right?
Right.
And if Anthony Edwards is able to dispose of the Warriors, this tour of legend killing continues, right, in this particular run of the playoffs. And then we'll see where it goes. But if Ant-Man gets to the finals, I'm telling you guys this right now, we're seeing the new face. He doesn't want it, but he's going to become that if he's able to get them to the finals, right, Mike, because he's willing to go there, his charisma and his game to back it up.
You know, you think with Julius Randle, and you think with, you know, like, no, nobody likes Gobert, but that is tough. That's a tough matchup, you know, for what the Golden State's trying to do. Jimmy Butler, Buckets with the special sauce, the leadership element, Draymond saying, hey, man, I'm not going to get loco. Get a little loco.
Loco.
No, you can. Here's the thing. If you're Draymond, can you push their buttons without getting teed up?
Well, that's the thing.
You know, and get them out of their game.
Remember when he
grabbed Bill Laimbeer used with Rick Mahorn.
Remember when he grabbed Rudy and he's shaking his head all crazy? Yeah. No. No, no. I got you right here.
And as you know, the famous French saying, I surrender. I don't want any of Draymond. He has the crazy eyes. But yeah, man, and so we were talking about this earlier. It's been mentioned a lot the last couple of years, and so I don't want to be cliched, but sometimes it just smacks you right in the face. And you started the segment talking about it. I get it. No one takes more three-point shots than Joel Mazzulla's Boston Celtics. But when you don't have it dropping, it just takes you out of a game. You blew a lead against the Knicks. They couldn't hit anything, and you just laid it out there. Jason Tatum, I mean, you've earned the right to tell your coach, hey, you know, or tell the guys in the next huddle, screw this three-point crap. Let's get to the rack.
Give me the ball.
And let's slow the game down. Because us just going down 5 seconds, chucking a three, the Knicks come right back and they just kill us with 1,000 tiny cuts.
Every great championship team has had a guy, okay, whether you guys realize this or not, that has said in those huddles, give me the ball. Every one of them. Tim Duncan, he didn't talk that much. He said it. Trust me. Kobe, Mike, Bird. Mike, we're watching the Celtics doc, right? Magic. They at some point where they go, give me the ball. Tatum's not that dude. And when he's just shooting and he's shooting and he's shooting and it's going, it's great. But when he's not, he's got to know, all right, time to calm down a little bit. I'm 6'9 with handles like magic. I can do what I want. I can get to wherever I want on the court. And he just continues to do that. So those are the moments, Mike, and we had a great guest on earlier who was saying, look, this is why people have doubted Jason Tatum through this run of great playoff runs. They finally get over the hump last year. Look, going back-to-back is extremely hard. But this is what I said about the Celtics last year. They get in these moments, Mike, and they get soft because when you're shooting threes, you get timid. You don't want to go to the rack.
Right, and that's, you know, as people have said, and that's why I was saying, I know it's cliched because it's been written about and guys comment on it, but the three-point shot and the overuse of the three-point, or the, let's be honest, the analytics, which then, you know, it's supposed to be, oh, the most logical way to approach sports until it isn't, until common sense, you know, common sense dictates I can get to the basket. Hell, I can get within 10 feet of the basket. You know, that's what, it's like either you're above the rim or it's the perimeter jump shot that's and it. No one has the intermediate jump shot unless you play ball in Europe. You know, because then you can do a few things. So, because nobody from the AAU ever learned about, you know, you had a 10-footer. You know, it does count, too. But that just drives me crazy. And that was last night with Joe Mazzulla, where nobody has, like, got the common sense to say, let's just take it inside. Because, I mean, you have the athletes between Brown and Tatum to get anything you want.
Anything.
Hell, Holiday can get inside if he wanted.
I agree. Jaylen Brown is the heart and soul of that team. But I know that Tatum is an elusive scorer. But it's those moments where you're just like, what are y'all doing? I want you to hear Shea Gilchrist Alexander. He is going to be the MVP, by the way. He's going to get that award. He was unbelievable this season. But, Mike, he was talking about reacting and responding to what happened in Denver or to them against Denver last night. Denver stole that game. I mean, you talk about the Celtics blowing it. Denver steals a game that they should not have stolen. But some people are saying, again, this is the youth of OKC. They're really good. But, hey, in these playoff moments, we can talk about it all you want. Now you're in it. How do you react? What do you do?
Right. And we said this earlier, and I referenced the old Sabonis. I mean, because it's just like when you watch Joker, when you watch Jokic in these situations, it's like when you go to, like, you've seen the viral video of the fat guy who can just do the behind-the-back passes. He's playing half court with a bunch of guys, and he's just like, he literally looks like the fat version of Woody Harrelson and White Man Can't Jump, and everything's going in the basket. That's the way Sabonis, like that guy at LA Fitness, you just can't D up. That just, there's no reason physiologically that this should be happening. But he makes it work, and he makes everybody around him better, gets everybody involved.
It's nuts.
And then you throw in Russell Westbrook not being terrible. That's a potent combination.
He's motivated. He was motivated against the Clippers.
Right.
He's motivated against OKC. I mean, he had 18 last night. This is Shea talking about expecting his team to respond.
It should be good. It should be fun. We're going to find out what we're made of, what we're really made of. And we couldn't expect it to be smooth sailing this whole journey. No journey in life is, and we know that. And today is a bump in the road, unexpected. No one expects to lose, especially that way, but it's the game of life. So it's about how you respond to getting knocked down, and that's what we got to do next game.
Yeah, and look.
You got to have heart.
You do. That's a team that they can do a lot of different things. We're talking about OKC. And everybody just expected them to coast to the finals. Now you got a series on your hands because this is a game you should be going up 2-0 in this series, and now you're fighting to go 1-1. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves in action tonight, guys. Again, can Chris Sale follow up what we saw last night with A.J. Smith-Shawver? It was a great outing. But as Mike and I talked about, and just to put it in perspective, Schwellenbach has pitched like this. He had eight innings, no runs, and 10 Ks against the Marlins. Chris Sale, we know how good he can be. Grant Holmes, Mike, is showing promise, right? I mean, he went six innings, two runs, nine strikeouts against the Dodgers this year. And then A.J. Smith-Shawver does that. And Strider's not even here yet. So all of a sudden, we're just saying, guys, look, we're not telling you we got the Dodgers rotation, but maybe this thing might work out for us at the end of the day. And it's not over because we still have the trade deadline that we can look ahead to and say, hey, if we need to go make a big move. But, Mike, we got to have quality starting pitching. The run support hasn't been as good as we wanted it to be at the beginning of the season, but they got it last night. They need to do it tonight for Chris Sale. And I just feel like as I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, he has pitched halfway decent, that this might be okay. And I don't know if I felt that way a month ago, right? The way things start, I was like, maybe Mike's right about this.
Well, I mean, this is just, and we said it, and Grant kind of echoed the sentiments. John Smoltz, which is one of my, John's, you know what is funny? I don't know if John, if he's listening, he's probably playing golf right now. But John is like, but it's almost like the Yoda of like baseball. It's like, try not with pitch count. You got to let things go and evolve. And as Grant said, I get so frustrated with all these Braves pitchers who just can't, and maybe it's on the organization, because you never spend enough on your starting pitching that the guy who's battling for that fourth or fifth job has got so much pressure. All right, you're out. Next guy, you're out.
Yep.
So it just kind of creates this vicious cycle where no one ever gets a chance to have the confidence to take a bad beating and come back and figure out how to pitch in the major leagues.
Yeah, it is interesting. We'll see what they do tonight. Chris has got the night show. Tomorrow, a big show starting at 2. Friday, Mike mentioned it. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on out and hang out with us. We're out there. Day-Day will be out there with us as well, having a good time. So come hang out with your boys. We look forward to it. All right, man, let's get out of here. We got to clear our throats. Hey, I want to remind you, too, the game's third annual Father's Day dinner is coming. And we want you to join us Friday, June 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. It's in Dunwoody, guys. As we celebrate Father's Day with you, go to 92.9 The Game, click on the contest page, and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with 92.9 The Game and the staff. Or if you want to tell us why you want to bring your grandfather or your kid or your coach, anyone that's important in your life. So it's brought to you by Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Make sure you enter now for your chance to win at 92.9 The Game. I want to remind you guys to get on that before time runs out. All right, my man, Dom, great job as always. Turtles got you at 6 o'clock. Day-Day, great job today. We're back at you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk Braves. We'll talk NBA playoffs, everything that's going on. And also, we're chasing down a guest from Georgia. I'll just leave it at that. Hopefully, we get a chance to talk to him. All right?
Nice.
Make sure you're here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. Data had a great question about Senator Ted Cruz, who basically, in this case, he does speak for all Americans. We just want to watch the freaking game. You know, this a la carte stuff that we always seem to get into, whether it's Peacock and Netflix and this app or that app and everything else, when in the old days, the TV stopped at 13 and you got everything and you knew where to find it. It does get frustrating. I've tried to cut the cord, but you guys are too smart than me because I can't figure it out. But yes, I want my old TV back where it all made sense and I didn't need to spend $9.99 for this and $18.99 for that. And I got just an automatic billing from Hulu that I haven't watched since the football game last year. Ah, somebody fix it.
Florida gives Todd Golden a new deal. When you win a chip, this is what happens. 6 years, $40.5 million contract extension that keeps him at Florida through 2031. Todd Golden becomes one of the five highest paid coaches in college basketball. He's making almost $7 million annually now. You're saying, Dukes, why are you talking about this? Because this is what we should be talking about at Georgia. Why can't you have the best football program and the best basketball program? Look, there's no pressure. Getting to the tournament was great. But winning the tournament is what we should be talking about. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friend.
If you don't,
you're seriously considering using Andre 3000's piano music as your wedding song.